Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. Happy Wednesday morning. Today, I have the pleasure of having Rob King, the founder of Bloom Theory Strategies, and that's a DC-based consulting firm. He's with me this morning, and we're going to explore his next chapter. So welcome, 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 Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. I know a little bit about Bloom Theory Strategies. I know you've done evaluations, strategic planning, coaching for organizations all over the country, but that's really all I know because I'm going to tell you I didn't have time to go to your website, although I did read your bio. I did not have time. So you're going to have to catch me up on what you're doing since the last time you and I talked.
Yes, of course. So before I get into like the weeds of what Bloom Theory does, I kind of want to take a step back and talk about my why.
Okay.
And so with Bloom Theory, I kind of had this belief that all of us should have the opportunity to do work that's really fulfilling to us. You know, the average person spends about 90,000 hours of their life at work. That is 1/3 of your life, right? So if you are going to spend that much time at work, it should be in a space where you feel fulfilled and you enjoy what you're doing. And so one of my goals is to help people create that type of work. And I try to teach people how to do that by teaching them how to do less while achieving more, right?
Love that.
And when I say less, I mean, let effort stay simple. So how
like
do
that.
We simplify? Yeah. How do we simplify and focus our efforts to get the most impact? And so that is really what my work is about. Going in, helping organizations determine how do I do less and achieve more with the products I build, with the programs I design, and the work that I create.
Say that again. Less effort. Say it again, please.
Less. So let efforts stay simple.
Let efforts stay simple. I love that. So
Thank
I have to tell
you.
You, I'm going to be quoting you on that. I'm getting ready to start doing reels on Instagram. So one
yes.
of my reels is going to be you saying, say it one more time.
Less, let efforts stay simple.
I love that. I love that. I love that.
Thank
I love
you.
that. So what's your sweet spot? What's your favorite? Because I know, I happen to know, and we're going to talk about this later, that this was a big decision for you. This was a big decision to let go of a really successful job and start this. So now you're doing it. What's your sweet spot in the work?
Yeah. I would really say I kind of view myself as a teacher, come from a family of teachers. So that's very much in the blood. And I think even my clients would say that I approach the work as a teacher, where I come in and I really like to observe, ask questions, and kind of help coach my clients into finding the answers that I believe they already know. They just kind of need some help and guidance getting there.
Okay. I want to talk about what was the driving force, like what made you want to do this? And then after we talk about that, I want to roll back the tape and hear the Rob King story. I want to roll back the reel. How's that?
Yes. Yes. If I had to put it into one word, it's the ocean.
Okay. I wouldn't have expected that one.
I tell people this story, you know, I always wanted to go into business for myself. I just never knew when the time would be right. And I happened to end up in the ocean out in Belize during my last job, jumped into the water for the first time. And that entire experience made me realize, you know, you can never really be fully prepared to jump into business for yourself. And when you do jump into the water, so to speak, you really can't control how the water moves, but you have to learn how to flow with it.
Oh, I love that.
And making sure that you have people around you who can support you and guide you as you are going through that experience. And honestly, that's what pushed me.
The ocean in Belize.
Yeah.
I love that. I didn't know that. I never heard that from you before.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, all right. Let's roll back the Rob King reel. You had a really successful career as a leader in data sciences, and then you took this plunge to start your own company. Tell me about your pre-company career, because we're in the next chapter. So let me hear about the chapter before that.
So before I jumped into the workforce, I ended up going to grad school to get my master's in policy and quantitative methods. So just mathematics and statistics, right?
Vanderbilt, is
And
that where you went?
yes,
Yep,
Vanderbilt.
I remember that correctly.
And when I finished that grad school program, I was kind of sitting at the decision between going to get a PhD, which was the original goal, or going straight into the workforce. And I decided to go into the workforce because I really wanted to see my work put into action and not just kind of sit on the shelf. And once I moved into the workforce, moved to DC, and I worked for a legal nonprofit doing data work. It was a really good experience. Got to see what that side of life is really like. And then from there, I moved into some government contracting work to do more data work in a different environment, different space. And then got that experience and decided, you know what? Government contracting may not be the best suited place for me. So I moved into campaign work, right? Still doing data, still doing analytics, but campaign work for political candidates on the Democratic side from the presidential election, yes, down to Senate level, House level, and even state level races, right? And led a team there, building products and supporting other people with their client work around how do we actually tell a story and compel people to get out to vote. Loved that work, really enjoyed it. And then from there, moved into my last role where I served as an organizing director for a nonprofit, also around data and analytics work.
Very
So,
interesting.
background of data analytics across the spectrum.
Okay. How much of data and analytics is what you do with Bloom Theory now? Because it looks like you do a lot more than data and analytics.
So I like to say that all of my work has an infusion of analytics and evaluation in it, right? The values, the theories behind that, I approach to everything that I do, even how I construct a meeting, right? But when it comes to doing just the hardcore number crunching, I say at this point, I feel like it's 25% of the work, you know?
Okay. So it doesn't drive the practice. It's just a piece of the practice. All right, I want to go. I know I'm going all over the place, but you were in the ocean. You decided that there is no perfect time to start a business. How did you know that the way you constructed this business and that this business was the right leap? Because you could have created all kinds of businesses and all kinds of different things. So how did you know that this Bloom Theory was the right leap? And building it this way was the right way to do it.
So I will be honest with you.
Of course, I expect you to be.
I cannot say I was 100% sure.
Okay.
Right? I would say I was about 70 to 75% sure. And for me, that was enough. Right? I knew I wanted to help people. I knew kind of how I wanted to help people, but I didn't have a clear vision of how the business itself would form until I am where I am now, right? 3 years in. But like I said, 70, 75% was ready. I think after all of my experiences, I started to see one, I was managing up in a lot of the organizations I was involved in, and I was watching people gain or bring in millions of dollars in funding and not really knowing what to do with it, right? They were also figuring it out themselves. And so I was under this impression that there was something I needed to learn additional in order to be ready. And after kind of seeing behind the curtain, Oh, we are all just figuring this out. And so what really separates people from starting and I think trying to get ready sometimes is really what I call like naive confidence, where you just jump in and you try and you're willing to figure it out along the way. And I think once I did that, in ways, the pieces started to kind of fall together, right? The opportunity showed up, the right people I started interacting with. And though I was only 70 to 75% sure, as I moved along the journey, the confidence around that increased.
And the competence as well. And you mentioned something that I think is very true. Sometimes we look up to people and think because they have the position and the title and the this and the that they really know and they really have it all together. But you're right. Once you pull back that curtain, once you see the wizard, you can never go back to Oz. No, cannot. So what were some of the initial strategies that you used to build the company?
I think it was really leaning on community. I'm very big on community, right? And leaning on the people who are around you, who support you, to help you support and grow the business. The same way I view myself as an individual and needing people around me to support me, I started to view the business as such. So, who does the business need in order to help it grow, in order to help it survive? And I just focused on building the right relationships. That was really the focus in the beginning. And then eventually, I started to formalize more of your traditional business strategies.
So every successful business person has a cheering section, and you're talking about community. I'm curious about who is or was your cheering section who helped you to build your confidence, to know you could do this, and to really support you in the infancy and the formative stages. Who were those folks, and how did they help?
It's so many people. You were definitely one of them. So thank you to you. Shout out to you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for letting me be part of your cheering section.
Yes, because you came in there in the early stages and helped me get it together, and I appreciate that. There are so many people, like too many to name. I like to kind of like group them into categories, three different categories. So I had people that I consider comrades, so folks that were starting off at the same time as me. Going through the experience at the same time I was, it was very useful to have them just to make sure or kind of help me understand that what I'm experiencing is not unique. They're also going through the same thing. Then I had people who I considered as guides, who were able to show me what I should and shouldn't do because they've already experienced it, right? The experience of going out into business for yourself. And then I have folks in my life that I consider suppliers. So people who were not doing small business work or entrepreneurship themselves, but they had access to resources, opportunities that could help my business grow, and they were willing to toss those out there, and support me in that way. And
So,
so,
comrades. What was the next one?
guides.
Comrades, guides, and suppliers. Okay,
Yes.
that's cool. I like the way that you've grouped the people. Very, I like that a lot.
And
I
that
like
comes from
that.
the boat experience, the ocean experience.
The
Yes.
ocean, I love it. That ocean experience was pivotal in your life.
So pivotal.
So, have you been back to the ocean since then?
I have not, and I need to go back.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to discover this time when you jump in.
Yes.
Never, ever, ever know. So now you've been at this a while. Been at this a while. How are you determining whether your strategies for formulating the business are serving you well? Because it's more than just growth of having a bunch of clients. How else are you assessing whether what you're doing is serving you and Bloom Theories well?
I think at this point, so part of my own personal growth journey is actually learning to do less.
And tell us what less is again.
Let effort stay simple,
Let effort
right?
stay simple. Thank you.
Right? Because I have a history of overperforming, doing more than I need to, and then creating unnecessary stress in my life. Right? There's no reason for me to experience burnout.
No.
No reason.
Right.
And I think I started to realize for myself that I was creating work that nobody asked for,
And
but
nobody
that I
probably cared
thought,
about.
yes, but I thought it was important. I thought it was a fire. I thought it was something that I had to solve. And learning that is not the case. And so one of my measurements for success is, am I doing something that people ask for? Am I doing something that also brings me joy and that kind of leans into my gifts and my talents? And really making sure that what I do is tied to a clear outcome or a project. Not just doing just to do, but doing because there is an outcome that has high impact.
I like that. You mentioned your gifts and your talents. What are some of your gifts and your talents? I love it when people know their gifts and their talents and that they recognize the fact that they have gifts and talents. So what are some of yours?
Yeah, I would say the number one is pattern recognition. I can sit down and I can see a pattern between a symphony and a mathematic equation, right? And I can craft something very fast that is useful for a situation because of that pattern recognition. I think the second thing is my communication approach, which really kind of leads into that teacher framework, where I love to take very complex topics and things and figure out how to break it down in a digestible manner.
So people can get it. So people
There's
can
no
get
point
it.
of knowledge if people can't use it.
No. And I often say that people say knowledge is power. It's not. It's the use of knowledge that's power.
Yes, the
Just
application.
Just knowing something that what's where's the power in that if you're not doing anything with it? Yes. Now, I want to keep this conversation going, but we can't today because we got to get out of the studio. The next time, I would love for you to come back so we can talk about how you prepared yourself to write this chapter of your story. You game for another conversation?
Of course.
So, thank you for sharing this part of your next chapter with us, and I look forward to talking again soon and very soon.
Same.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.